Hello.
Hey,
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
What were you doing in Comic Base?
Oh, I got a handful of comics from Atomic Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just adding a few of them in there while I waited.
Did you buy DC or Marvel?
You know, thanks to I think it was really because of you guys started talking about Gotham by Geeks and really started remembering all the stories, all the old stories, and from when I was a kid, that I've been totally on a kick for DC. It was all DC. There was a short period where I stopped buying a handful of comics, DC titles, a few years into After Crisis. So,
You also dropped off in 52, right?
I the only thing I went through all the way through was Batman, in 50 New 52. Yeah, there was other ones that I collected, but they got canceled earlier than that, like Animal Man and Swamp Thing and stuff. But for the Crisis stuff, I kept collecting like a lot of stuff, but I started dropping things. This was in what, I guess the early, no, it had to be like late, very late 80s, early 90s when I
Early
stopped.
90s, yeah, because 87 was Crisis, right?
So it was a few years in, and I pretty much dropped all the three Superman books. So now I'm trying to go back
Was
and
Byrne gone by then? I
yeah,
can't remember. He was
he was
gone.
gone. Yeah.
He didn't last too long. But you
Yeah,
missed all the Ordway and
I had a handful of them, but not many. But I missed a
yeah.
lot. It was I dropped off. I can't even tell now anymore because I picked a bunch up in between. But like in the Superman, the new Superman book that started at number one again,
Yeah.
I had probably collected up until the high 30s or low 40s, and
Yeah.
then I didn't pick it up again until Death of Superman. So like 74, I think, was my, and then I bought every single one from that point on, from 74 all the way up without any breaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's
Yeah,
basically what I got.
never stop Superman. I did stop back then. I did stop some of the Superboy and steal some of the
The less what,
outlayers,
yeah,
of
the
the
outliers.
Superman family, but I've since gone back and bought them all.
I still have to. I never really thought to go back because I was. I mean, I've always been more of a, in terms of back issues, more of a Marvel guy. But since really in the past like year, it's been mostly DC. Like I'm trying to get Batman and
I've been buying a lot of Marvel.
I know. As soon as I started buying like nothing but DC, I noticed
Yeah.
buying all sorts of Marvel. But
Well, let's kick this off.
sure.
This is Geek Brunch Retrocast, and Chris Ivy is taking a hiatus, and he should be back in January time frame. And Rob is stepping in. Rob Krieger. Is that how you say it? Krieger?
Krieger.
Krieger. Krieger. I always say it wrong, and I'll
That's all
probably
right.
say it wrong again.
I don't know. I'm used to what everyone does,
Yeah,
because that's what it looks
Krieger.
like. So how are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. Rob is also with Chris on the Comic Book Booster Club, and they're taking a hiatus, so Rob has graciously stepped in and
Thanks for having me.
is helping me with some geek love of the past.
Exactly.
And we've already started talking about stuff. But having said that, I wanted to tell you an interesting story
Sure.
about the Marvel stuff.
Go ahead.
So this is kind of heartbreaking, but this happened. I went to the shop right before on Tuesday before the holidays. And I went really late into the evening because he was going to let me get my books because of the holiday. So I was going to get those, and then I was going to get some of the back issues that I have on hold. And which were I've been on this Werewolf by Night kick,
Yeah.
and he, I have like almost all of them except one in my box to pick up, and they're like really high grade. But this is the interesting part. For the last, man, it's been 4.5 months, maybe 4.5, 5 months. He's been buying this collection from this guy. He's been taking in books, like key books. You know, I got Giant Size X-Men and some Iron Fist, and a lot of them were key appearances. Like, he had the Silver Surfer number one I had in my box. I had the first Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, the first Shang-Chi in my box, a couple other things. So there are key appearances, and this collection was immaculate. I mean, it was 9.2 or higher. Like, you look at the books, and they're like, holy crap. And I was getting this super discount, you know, 50% off what he grades them at. So I'm getting them at half. So if a book, like a key book, is $1,000, I'm getting it for $500.
Wow.
So that's a big discount.
That's huge.
Yeah. But anyway, here's the bad part of it is I went in, I called him, and he didn't seem like in his chipper mood. Usually he's chipper to hear from me because I spend so much. But I went in, and the collection that he's been buying from was stolen.
What?
Yeah. It was a family thing where the stepson was stealing from the father, his stepfather, and his stepfather was in hospice. So he was like taking this collection, immaculate, putting them in duffel bags and bringing them in like 100 books at a shot. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
And he was going out through other stores as well. Like, he had Spider-Man 1 through 100 and like all kinds of key books. Fantastic Four. He had number one, but it was really bad shape. It was like a 1.0. But, you know, there was a lot of key stuff in there. And his son was stealing from him. So his son was in jail. And I guess the daughter came to get the collection, and it was all gone. Or at least 50% of it was gone.
Yeah.
And she came to do the... to sell the books to help with his hospice, you know, his bills.
Yeah.
So, everything sold prior is sold, but the cops confiscated everything after it.
Wow.
So, that's like 20 long boxes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And these were all wall books too. So the whole wall was like taken, everything was taken off of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was crazy.
That's horrible.
So he's out. He spent 10 grand on these books up, you know, and he's out. I think he recovered maybe 8 of it, so he's still out 2 grand.
Yeah.
And then he had to turn in everything.
Wow.
So that sucked.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, for the last – I said I'll be getting books for the next, I don't know, year.
Yeah.
And key books, and they're all gone now. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. So, a bunch of books that you had been getting were part of this collection, too.
Yeah, right? Just a few. The Giant Size X-Men, a few Iron Fists, and The Werewolf by Nights, but I didn't get them all. I turned them in.
Wow.
So yeah, I still have like Werewolf by Night 1 through 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then everything else went back.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Somebody would do that.
Yeah. That he was devastated. And he's like, I wish I could just sell this stuff, but I can't. You know, he's a Christian and he's doing what's right. Taking everything back. And he's going to be out 2 grand for sure.
Wow.
I told him he should file an insurance claim because he has all the checks that he wrote to this guy.
Yeah,
to me,
exactly.
that's like stolen.
Yeah. Wow. Not too
Yeah.
good.
Crazy.
Oh, you know, one thing I did want to mention with the Atomic Avenue, I finally bought a Brave and the Bold 197, which for whatever reason I have not been able to find at any con that I've ever been to in the past, like, I don't know how many years.
Even on my comic shop?
Yeah, even on, like, when I've looked there, you know, I wanted, and because there's nothing really special. I mean, it's the wedding of Batman and Catwoman, but it's really not overpriced. It's like a $15 book. So I wanted to get something that was in pretty decent shape. And the only time that I ever saw it was in lower grade.
Yeah.
And at the cons, like, I'll go through. I'm like, oh, they have a lot of Brave and the Bold. 194, 195, 196, 198. They never had 197. Yeah. I don't know what it was. But
yeah, that,
I finally
that
picked
one
it
is
up.
In the Alan Burnett hardcover, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just needed to – that was, like, probably one of my first introductions to DC was Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
And I started collecting, like, 150 or something like that. And I just wanted to get – now I have almost all of them 100 and up, but missing a few in the one team.
Well, the only one I'm missing is, like, 83. And then
wow.
I go all the back – I have 58 all the way to current.
Really?
And then I have sporadic ones, like – 25, which is Suicide Squad, 38, which is Suicide Squad, 40, which is Cave Carson. I should really pull that out and read it now that I've been reading the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have some older ones, but, you know, 58 pretty much all the way through. The only one I'm missing is, like, that Teen Titans issue, number 83.
I'd like to at some point get all of them that at least had Batman, you know, that started to co-star Batman.
Yeah.
Like I said, that was like my introduction to DC is like, I knew who Batman was. And that's how I learned who a lot of these secondary heroes were at the time, you know, cause I was like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
See Red Tornado for the first time and the Atom for the first time and stuff like that. It was awesome.
Yeah. I'd like to have the Hawkman one for sure.
Mm.
But that Justice League one is going to be poof.
Yeah, I'm not even going to worry about that one.
I don't think that's happening for me.
Uh-uh.
Unless there's some weird, wicked discount down the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have to renew my comic base subscription. I just got the notification.
I did too.
Because I usually leave it up. Like, I leave it up on my computer all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because it takes, like, I don't know, 3 to 4 minutes to load it, you know, checking
yeah.
disk, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just rather leave it up. And then I just go to file tools and compress it myself
yeah.
every now and then so it doesn't – so the access time and stuff is decent. But I don't usually bring it down. But
yeah, I usually just turn it off and turn it back on. I had some issues with the computer itself, and I like it did something weird where I thought I lost everything, and I had to
mm-hmm.
actually take it off the take the backup off the web to get
yeah.
it back on, and then just add whatever wasn't in there.
Yeah,
so, it had something to do with I left it on, and the computer did like a whole update, like a computer update. And it messed
mm-hmm.
something up, so I don't even know what it was.
Yeah. It's good to have those backups.
Yeah, for sure.
That little sidekick.
Yep.
app.
Yeah, this is a good program. You definitely turned me on to a good
well,
one.
Well, it's the best, but you pay for it.
Yeah.
And I really like it because, I mean, you get a lot of books. You said you were in the 180s.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're
including
back issues, but
you know
well,
what?
You're close. I mean, I might get 220, but
I was including like I was just taking an average of like what I was buying.
Yeah.
So I was looking at like totals, and they were including back issues. So if it was the regular issues, it's more like, I mean, it's still probably 140, 150 when I count like miniseries and stuff
yeah.
like that. But yeah, because I got about 120 ongoing.
Well, I've been buying back issues, but not a lot because the books I've been getting are expensive.
Yeah.
So the quantity hasn't been like, oh, I did buy recently. So my DC is pretty solid. Like I don't drop out of it very often. Mm-hmm. So but Marvel, I tended to drop out more.
Yeah. So you're trying to pick
cause
up
because it's just a mentality. I'd rather have a bad DC comic than a good Marvel. It has nothing to do. It's just history to me. So it's like I want to know everything. I want to know the bad too. So
yeah,
that's my mentality. Just like you read everything alphabetically. That's my thing. You know, I just want to know everything DC. So I got on this Ghostwriter kick, so I'm like buying. I still need to get like issues 2 through 17 of the first series, but I was missing a lot of the Danny Ketch stuff, especially towards the end, towards the very end before it died. And I recently picked up like 50 issues of it, so now I almost have a whole run of that.
Wow.
So that'll give me every Ghostwriter series since it started. Once I fill that in.
I dropped, I think, Ghost Rider around number that one, the Danny Ketch, I think around number 50. I don't know how far.
Yeah, I stuck around because I was like really into it. Like mm-hmm. when it first started, it was like.
Well, that was the hottest thing.
Yeah. And then when they started to go, I think towards the tail end of Midnight Suns, when they were spawning off everything.
Yep. Morbius and.
Yeah, Morbius and Blaze had his own series.
Yep.
There was just. Everything in the Midnight. They even had a Midnight Suns quarterly.
Yep,
they had everything, and Doctor Strange was part of that. And man, there was so much stuff. I started to drop off, and those were the ones that I was filling in. But some of those ones towards the end are rare. I didn't realize it, but low print runs. But that's what I picked up recently.
Nice.
And then we were at a. We were in Arizona. I've been away a lot. We were in Arizona, and there was one of those indoor flea market things, you know, like a collector antique place.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like in those big warehouses. I don't know if you ever have those there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like
yeah, we
like
have we have those
and stuff like that.
And I got a lot of like Marvel magazines, which were cool, like the ones that had the movie ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got like Dragon Slayer. I had the original comics, but this was like the movie magazines. I got like Meteor, a bunch of other weird stuff. And I threw away all my comic scenes, which it was a big deal to me. I don't usually have any regrets, period. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the things that I regret is I threw away my Wizards, and I wish I didn't because there's so much history in that.
Yeah,
and I threw away my comic scenes. Like the magazines to me were disposable, and so I was able to pick up number one and a couple other ones. So I was glad to get those. But I really wish I wouldn't have thrown those out because that was like Wizard magazine before Wizard was even close to doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had any of those. Just the,
oh man, they're amazing.
Yeah,
they're amazing things that never happened. But it was like Newsarama before superhero movies became popular. So it would like have – these are all the licenses that were sold, you know, that we expect movies out of.
Yeah.
Back then, the percentage of them making it was really low. It was like 2% out of 100. Yeah, you got a Man Thing movie and a couple of Swamp Thing TV shows and
exactly.
Yeah, you didn't get much back then.
Oh my God, no.
The animated stuff was more likely than the live action.
Yeah.
All right, well let's dig in, Rob. What do you got up first?
I think the first thing that I'll do is get out of the way. I wanted to talk about. I assume you've seen the Night of the Living Dead from like the 60s.
Yeah, of course. I own all of the George Romero films.
Now, I've never seen this until the weekend. Did you ever see the 1990 remake of Night of the Living Dead?
Yep, I've seen every zombie remake of... Definitely not as good as the first, at least in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. But it was... I'm like, you know what? What the heck? I'll just watch it. It was free on Amazon, or maybe it was... I've got that subscription service, Shudder.
Yeah.
It's like the horror movies. Uh-huh. So it was on there. So I figured I'd give it a try because I've never seen it before. It was still very good. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not Dawn of the Dead remake for sure.
No.
Like they went above and beyond with that remake. Yeah.
No, this one is, and it really follows pretty much exactly the same.
Plot,
yeah, except for Barbara is, you know, like an she's a very strong character in this one.
Has one of my favorite lines of all time. Barbara.
Coming to get you?
They're coming to get you. I do that because my wife's name is Barbara. So.
Yes, that's right. Do you tell her that all the time?
Yeah. Barbara, they're coming to get you, Barbara.
But I thought it was good. I mean, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but, you know, I thought it was still well done. And like I said, every character pretty much was exactly the same. Like that, you know, the father, that Harry Cooper, he was, you know, he was a jerk and, you know, he was with his family and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was almost like they colorized it.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on one second. Okay, Mike.
Sure.
I just had to say goodnight to my two kids.
Ah.
Going to bed. But yeah, so the one thing I noticed is it was very much the whole thing with you know, Harry versus Ben, you know, the main character in the original one, the black guy. And but Barbara was such a strong character in this one, that even though she kind of like backed Ben, she had a lot of her own ideas in terms of, like, she kept saying a couple times, they move so slow. Let's get out of here. Let's just run out of here. They're not going to be able to catch us. And sure enough, finally, instead of her, you know, being taken and dragged away, you know, she actually has a much bigger role on it. I thought, even though I thought that was interesting, I didn't think the ending was as good as the original. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, the original. The one male character turns into a zombie, right?
Which one, Ben?
Yeah, Ben.
In the original one, he survives throughout the whole. He like gets down into the basement and he ends up surviving.
Oh.
And he gets out and he starts walking out because he hears people coming.
Yeah.
And the sheriffs and stuff just see somebody moving in there and figures it's a zombie and shoot and kill him.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's,
yeah. So
it's really a. God, it's
dark. Like
that one was rough.
Yeah, and it's something that like appealed to me as like a probably.
Well, it was like a racial thing too.
It
almost, it was like a message there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And in this remake, you know, I'll go ahead and spoil it. It's like,
yeah,
25 years old. Barbara gets away and she meets up with, like, you know, the whole. Group that's killing off the zombies, and she goes back to the farmhouse and she sees that
Ben is dead.
Yeah, he's dead and he's a zombie, and she shoots him, and Harry had lived. He had hit up in the attic, and he comes down and is like, "Oh, you came back for me," and she turns around and shoots him.
That guy was a jerk, though.
He was a jerk.
Like, he locked him out a couple times.
Yeah, but it was just funny to see, like, she just turns around, shoots him, and says tells him there's another one for the fire, and, you know, that's it. So it was interesting to see how they changed her character up, but everyone else was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But I definitely, if anyone's seen the original, I definitely would still say I'd recommend them watching this remake just to see the differences and the similarities. Because it's not a bad It was definitely a.
If you're a history guy, you want to watch the black and white one first.
Oh, but, for sure. Yeah, you gotta watch.
If you're more contemporary, I would say go for the newer one.
Yeah, I. Well,
some people just can't get into the black and white stuff. So.
No, but it was filmed in black and white. You know, I mean, it was a low budget movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the original one. I think it was just. I mean, especially for at its time and stuff, it was a brand new idea for what zombies were. You know.
Oh yeah. And they kind of maintained that for quite some time until we got the fast ones.
Yeah, exactly. But even like Walking Dead, you know, takes so
Walking
much.
Walking Dead, Walking Dead is a George Romero zombies.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
They're not going after brains. They just want to eat you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they don't talk. They walk slowly.
And I watched a retro movie, too. It's a little more current. Well, no, it's probably around the same time. I watched Lost in Space.
Movie. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really held up, I thought. I mean, the effects are not that good. That's one thing you notice, especially the opening sequence. Like, they have Matt LeBlanc plays, you know, the young pilot.
Yeah.
Which and then Gary Oldman plays the doctor, which is Dr. Smith, which is the evil one. So they had like a quite a big lineup. I like, what's her name? Lacey. I watched Party of Five. I'm guilty.
Yep.
Barb got me into that show, and I started watching. I think I missed the first season or two, and then I watched Party of Five religiously, but she was in it too as Penny. It had like an all-star cast. It was pretty good movie. Like I love the Lost in Space movies or TV show.
Yeah,
because I used to come home from middle school and see them in reruns, and then it continued on into high school where I'd still watch them. Like, I don't know if I've watched every single one of them, but I really liked them. And I think this one paid tribute to that, because it had a lot of, I don't know, like the isolation or landing on a planet that's very weird. And it did a really good job. It actually reminded me of Star Trek Beyond, when those little bug-like creatures are attacking the ship, because they have the same sort of sequence with these spiders. Like, they land on it and there's these spiders, and they attack the ship. Like, they are able to like launch themselves on, and those spiders play a big role because they actually bite the doctor in the future. They actually bite him, and later on as he ages, he becomes one of those spider creatures. It's weird. It's one of those time things. They get on the planet and they see their future selves.
I'm going to have to watch that again.
It's really, really bizarre. Yeah. It was good. I saw it on HBO. What do you call it? I guess it's HBO Go, but they call it On Demand. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that was pretty good. And I started to watch the remake of Poltergeist. I didn't finish it.
I've never seen that one.
It was actually not nearly as good as the original. Sometimes you could say the new one is better. But in this in this one, the kids weren't as good. And man, they did not hide anything. Like, it's like, get to the house and it just happens like immediately.
Really?
Like, there's no like build up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the horror build up of like, oh, why are my kids acting strange? Well, you knew one of them was acting strange, but it just, you know, they get there, and then the night of.
That's how they have to make movies nowadays, it seems. There's no
a lot of people don't have an attention span anymore.
Right.
That's why people are complaining about Walking Dead, but I like it still.
Oh, I love Walking Dead.
Like, coworkers, man, nothing happened. I'm like, yes, it did. It's the human condition. That's what The Walking Dead's about.
Exactly. Oh, I'm with you.
But, Lost in Space. I don't know why I watched it again, but I did. And I didn't regret it. I liked it.
Yeah.
You said it was the first video you bought.
The first DVD, yeah. Bought a DVD player and I bought that. And I bought L.A. Confidential. And those were the first two DVDs I ever watched.
DVD, huh? Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a VCR before that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have Lost in Space. I saw Lost in Space at the theater. And then I know my brother has it because I always go by his TV and there's Lost in Space. I think that's what made me want to watch it again. I didn't remember it at all.
Yeah, I mean, even the stuff that you're talking about.
Like, I remembered some of the Gary Oldman stuff.
Yeah.
But that's it. Because he's such a iconic character, you know? Gary Oldman usually acts over the top.
Yes.
And Dr. Smith is over the top, so I love the guy who originally played him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I remember
what it reminded me of like I'm not a big Next Generation guy, but the kid that was in this one reminded me of Will.
Will Wheaton?
Yeah, Will Wheaton. Mm-hmm. Because he was like a gifted, like he was way above, his IQ was way out there and he'd have to save the ship.
Yeah.
And this kid was amazing too. Like I thought he was way smarter than his father. Like he's the one that revived the robot. He built it after it tried to destroy him because they programmed it to destroy the Robinsons. And then he took it and rebuilt it. The kid did. And it was cool because the kid's got like a 3D suit or an imaging thing where he like can control the robots.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're like getting attacked by the spider aliens, he sends the robot in and he controls the robot. So that was pretty cool.
And I loved that robot.
Yeah. Danger!
Danger, Will Robinson.
Robinson, yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, so what do you got for comics?
All right, so I bought the Batman Golden Age omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started finally getting around to reading the first volume.
Yeah.
And when I got to Batman number one, it's the first time that I had read any of Batman number one before. So, you know, it's got a couple Joker stories in it. It's got the return of Hugo Strange in it, who appeared in a earlier issue of Detective at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the debut of the Cat, which obviously, as you know, becomes Catwoman.
Yeah, I own that one.
Which one do you own?
Number four or number three?
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's my oldest Batman.
I thought you meant number one.
No. No.
So, yeah.
Catwoman means a lot, so I bought her first appearance.
Yeah, I know you like
that. That's when she has the Catwoman. She actually has a head like a cat. It's well, before her iconic look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I'd cover the story with the cat in it. Because I thought it was a really good story, but it's also a little, there are parts of it that are comical just because this, you know, it's 75 years old and, you know, things are just written differently back then than they are now, or the world is a different place, I guess. Right.
Uh-huh.
So, in this particular story, Bruce is talking to Dick and basically said that, you know, there's an article about a yacht party that is going to be going on. It's got a lot of publicity. And this particular woman who is going to be hosting it has a necklace that's incredibly valuable. So Bruce is like, you know, with all this publicity, every crook in the place, you know, in town are going to be trying to get this necklace. So he says to Dick that he's in the middle of a case, but he wants to send Dick Grayson there to start without him, and then he'll catch up. So Dick's there as a steward, and he's eavesdropping on people, and he sees Mrs. Travers, who's the person with the necklace, and he's listening in and eavesdropping, and sees a, or hears a conversation between Mrs. Travers and her nephew, and his name's Denny, and he's brought a very, very old woman named Miss Peggs as a guest. And Miss Peggs goes on to say that she sprained her ankle and that Denny's been escorting her around. So Dick Grayson says to another steward, well, that must be a pretty nice guy. And the steward's like, oh, no, he's a rat. He probably wants some of her money. So sure enough, he starts following Mrs. Travers around, and there's two other people asking her for money, and she's saying no. So he's like, well, looks like this necklace is going to be in trouble because everyone wants money. And he catches Denny throwing away a letter that says, keep your aunt away from the room. We'll be by then, the cat. So he's like, oh, there's somebody named the cat that's working with Denny. I better get into the room and check it out. Suddenly, Mrs. Travers runs out of her room and says, I've been robbed. My necklace has been stolen. So the next thing they know is that they're looking for the Coast Guard. They see the Coast Guard come to investigate. And instead, it's not the Coast Guard. It's a bunch of gangsters that came up on a boat to steal the necklace. And Mrs. Travers starts laughing at them because she says that they're already stolen. So the gangsters, of course, are pretty upset, but they decide to start stealing everything else, any other valuables that anyone has. So Dick Grayson starts fighting, and it's still looking like a steward. He bumps into one gunman and knocks him off. He starts shooting, or starts punching another one, and then he jumps overboard because they're starting to pull out their guns, and they try to kill him, but they're not able to. And he changes into his Robin outfit. And as he's about to come back on board and starts roping some of these gangsters, Batman shows up in yet another boat and says that his case is over, and he's there to help. And so Robin catches him up. And here's one part that I thought was funny. So now they have a bunch of these gangsters already all tied up and captured. And Batman says to Robin, Robin, I've always wondered just how brave a crook is without his gun. I'd like to try a little experiment, and you're going to prove it. And Robin says, how? Batman says, I'm going to show the kids of America how yellow you rats are without your guns. I'm going to let Robin here take the four of you on all at the same time. So they basically let them go, right? Batman stands there and lets them all start attacking Robin at the same time. But of course, you know, Robin ends up beating them up anyhow.
Yeah, it's amazing in those Golden Age stories how much Robin does the brunt work. Like, he does a lot of the fighting.
Yeah, and it was funny to me that these guys are already captured. Now he's letting them go so they can take on Robin. Right.
It's so much like, it reminds me of Kato in Green Hornet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kato would do all the fighting. He does that to Robin a lot.
and you know, like I said, I'm just starting to get into this. So I thought that was funny. It's not as if they were in the middle of a fight and he said, Robin, go ahead and take them. They actually let them go to prove this point. And then Batman breaks the fourth wall, and actually there's a panel of him talking directly to you, the comic book reader, saying, well, kids, there's your proof. Crooks are yellow without their guns. Don't go around admiring them. Rather, do your best in fighting them in all their kind.
that's actually a dangerous message to be telling little kids, right, that are reading the comic.
Yes. I was thinking that, too. And it was just funny that he's like, he's turned looking directly at, you know, you, the reader, and as if, you know, you should
fight these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Beat them up.
Yeah.
So, they end up taking the smaller boat back to the yacht, and Batman shows up during the costume party, and he gives them back all of their valuables, all the stolen property that he got back from the gangsters, minus of course the necklace which had been missing. The fire alarm goes off. It turns up that Batman had set the fire alarm because he suspected this Miss Peggs, and Miss Peggs goes running like really, really fast out of the room because of the fire alarm. And Batman says, it worked. There goes Miss Peggs. Nice legs for an old woman. And the captain of the ship says, stop, there's no fire. It's a false alarm. And Miss Peggs says, a false alarm? I wonder, the Batman, he's after me. It's a trap. So she starts running. Robin actually jumps after her and tackles her. And Batman takes off her wig and her makeup and stuff. And sure enough, it's a attractive young woman. And this is the Cat. So she's, and here's another funny part. She starts shouting at him, let go of me. And Batman says, quiet or pop a spank. So that was kind of comical as well.
Yeah.
But she had the necklace hidden under her ankle bandage. And so they go ahead and they take the rest of the, they leave the rest of the gangsters for the police. Batman goes ahead and he's going to take the Cat away on his own boat back. And she says, Batman, I was supposed to give Denny half of the jewels. Why don't you come as my partner with me, and you and I together, you and I, king and queen of crime, we make a great team with you as my partner. And Batman says, sorry, your proposition tempts me, but we work on different sides of the law. Let's go. So she says, why didn't you leave me behind on the yacht instead of taking me to the police yourself? He says, I've got my reasons. And suddenly she jumps to her feet and jumps overboard. And Robin says, watch her, she's jumped overboard. And Batman goes, fancy that. And Robin gets ready to jump after her. And Batman bumps into him, knocking him back into the boat. He goes, hey. He goes, oh, sorry, Robin. And Robin says, too late, she's gone. And say, I bet you bumped into me on purpose. That's why you took her along with us, so she might try a break. And Batman says, why, Robin, my boy, whatever gave you such an idea? Nice night, isn't it?
Lovely sexual tension. I'll let her go.
What eyes? I mustn't forget I got a girl named Julie. Oh, well, she still had lovely eyes. Maybe I'd bump into her again sometime. So it's just funny that, you know.
And Selena is not wearing a costume.
No, she's just wearing a dress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no costume at all. So it was just very comical. That, I mean, there were, you know, funny parts, like, you know, Batman actually, you know, bumping into Robin to make sure that Catwoman could escape and stuff like that. It was a really enjoyable story, but there was those little moments that made it funny as well. it both intentionally and some of the other stuff, you know, unintentionally, just because it's, you know, was made for kids and 75 years old. But it was really, really, it was fun to read that. And like I said, I've never read Batman number one before, so that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good collection. I get them all.
Those are it's
awesome.
It's great. And I'm just
I wish they would just keep on, though.
I know
sales decrease with every volume they put out, but it's just a shame you can't always just have the entire archive on your bookshelf.
Exactly.
I mean, in one format.
Batman will probably last longer than most of the others.
Yeah, I would think Batman and Superman will last the longest.
Yeah.
I have them all so far. Like, they have Wonder Woman, they have The Flash, they have the Justice League. They have a Green Lantern.
Yeah, they're doing Green Lantern. The only ones I'm getting are Batman and Flash. And
they have Suicide Squad, too.
Oh, the
the original.
What are they doing? Oh, the original.
Yeah, where it's just Colonel Flag.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
They play a lot of on it, though, in the Ostrander series. Like, when they talk about Colonel Flag, they reference a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, the Suicide Squad, something totally different in the Silver Age.
Yeah, and I don't think I've read any of that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Especially if you like Flag.
Yeah. That's cool.
So my pick is Battlestar Galactica. This is 1978 or whatever it is.
Marvel?
But this is, no, not Marvel's. This is Maxim Press by Liefeld.
Oh, wow.
And Liefeld isn't doing the art. He does the covers. He's a co-plotter with Robert Napton, and Robert Napton does the scripting. And the art is Hector Gomez. I don't know if he did the second issue, because I read one and two, because those are the only two I have.
Mm-hmm.
I found them in a dollar bin, and I was like, I love Battlestar. Let's see what these are about. And I don't have many Maximum Press books.
I've never heard of them.
Maximum Press was Liefeld's extreme after he left Image. So
did you say it was?
This is... Let me see. 1995.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 79. That's
Oh, no, no. Marvel. 78 is when the... I just wanted to make it clear on what version of Battlestar Galactica it is. It's not the current version.
Yep.
It's the, you know, the Starbuck is not the female.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The guy from the A-Team.
Yeah, exactly. Face.
Yeah, face. So, I love Battlestar Galactica, the classic. I don't know. A lot of it has retro. I grew up with it as a kid, and just admiring the heck out of it, and saw it at Universal Studios and everything else. So, like, I really wanted this. And a matter of fact, I'm gonna go back and this is. Took me down a rabbit hole that I want to get all of the – I'm into dead universes and dead mm-hmm. companies. I'm going to go after Maximum Press now.
Nice.
Yeah. So the art is really unusual. It's not consistent, but it's not bad. He even changes, like, art styles between one and two. Like, he drew Colonel Ty bald in this issue, and then in two he looks more like the guy on TV. And all these creators that Liefeld hired have a similar style. Like he wanted to have a classic look and feel to his line that looked like his stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting story. This is Battlestar Galactica Starbuck, and it opens up where they're playing cards with Jolly. He's kind of like the heavier guy on Battlestar Galactica, and Apollo and Boomer, and they're playing around the table, and he like wins big, and he's dating Cassiopeia, which I really liked. And then the Red Alert goes on. They do draw the Vipers really good. Like I did like the space sequences. Like they're way better than when they're drawing the people, when they're drawing the ships. It looks really good. But it falls into one of those stories where Starbuck, who's always the one that likes to showboat and be the best fighter, he is probably the best fighter pilot. He like saved Apollo even in the TV show many times because he's willing to take chances and he can fly better without the computer than anybody. And there's no Cylons in this book. That's what's fascinating. It's another Earth colony that's fighting these guys because Adama had imprisoned this guy. And he crash lands on a planet but manages to blow up a lot of their ships as they attack the Galactica. And he's imprisoned in a prison colony. And me and Ivy just watched an episode where Starbuck was on a prison colony. So it was actually pretty fascinating. And I don't have the third issue to know if it know what the ending is, but I definitely want to place an order.
This is the one that has four issues?
It's only three, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one in Comic Base that.
Well, maybe it has four. It's yeah, it Battlestar like Starbuck.
Oh, Battlestar Starbuck. I'm just looking at Battlestar Galactica.
It's Battlestar Galactica colon Starbuck.
I gotcha. Yeah, just three issues.
Yeah. So, I wanna actually get – and this is like a small universe, like Evangeline. They're actually going to turn that into a movie. At least that's what I've heard. Lady Pendragon was coming out of it. Christian, Asylum, which had Mike Deodato artwork, which I like. And War Child had Alan Moore writing it, so nice. That would be interesting. Rob yeah. Liefeld drawing it. So it's like I don't think it'll take me long to finish this collection, but I'm interested in getting some of the titles and see where it goes. I found this one at the Arizona, that little place I told you about, the indoor flea market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you find, how do you make sure that you have everything of a certain publisher?
Oh, you just search by publisher.
You use Comic Base to figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And it's not 100%. Sometimes there's some outliers, but it's at least 90 to 95%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Makes it easy.
Yeah, there's sure another publisher that did Battlestar Galactica comics called Realm. And I did see those on mycomicshop.com, so I might target those as well.
Yeah.
And then I'll just have everything Battlestar Galactica, because I get the Dynamite stuff, which is really good.
Is it good?
Oh, it's really good. Well, you're reading it. You're reading the new stuff.
I just bought probably an omnibus, but it's just the entire 12 issues that they did plus a Pegasus one shot. That they did all collected in one book, and so I finished reading that. It's 13 issues altogether, and that was really good.
Yeah, they started another Galactica series. The classic one just ended,
mm-hmm.
and then they started another series with the newer stuff.
Oh yeah, the Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I did get the first issue of that. I wasn't super super. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I would have given it like a 3 out of 5. The first issue.
Yeah. I'm not too big on the newer property, because they really take that COBOL stuff and they turn it into very religious.
Oh yeah. See, that's actually what like fascinated me, is like you think that you're going in, and I think I mentioned to you a while back, or maybe I was talking to Chris, that my wife was watching it with me.
Yeah.
Because I had watched it a first time a couple of years ago, and then I said, well, let's just try the like that mini series. It was like two parts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know don't like it, then that'll be it. And she really liked it. She loved it. So I think that for me, that was part of the fascination, is that you think you're going in to just see a regular just sci-fi action TV show.
Well, it starts off kind of like that.
It does, but then all of a sudden it gets into this all this other stuff. It really did. I actually liked that a lot.
Yeah, see, that part I didn't like.
Yeah.
I liked it when it first started, and then as it went on, like, I stuck with it, because I was already invested in the characters. Yeah. I mean, the characterization is what drives the show.
For sure.
And I was already way deep invested before I started to not care for it as much. But if you watch the classic, I could see where these guys pulled a lot of that stuff from, like, and I guess I didn't realize it until I'm rewatching it.
Yeah.
You know, like when I saw Battlestar Galactica when it came out on TV. So that was a long time ago. And then I saw some reruns here and there, but I hadn't watched it since. And then I watched the new one probably a year behind when it was released. So like I was buying the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember why I started watching it, though. I think it was because it was Battlestar Galactica, and I got really into it. And then I decided to instead of – I didn't have Netflix back then or whatever.
Right.
I bought the DVDs instead and just kept up with it. And they had Caprica, too, which is spawned off of that.
I tried a little of Caprica after I finished the Battlestar Galactica series, because, like I said, I only just watched it for the first time like 3 years ago. It was all free on Prime, so I watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get into Caprica, but I didn't really like that as much.
Yeah. Yep. So looks like there's a bunch of series, but they're very shouldn't be hard for me to get.
Yeah, no, should be okay.
Because there are only 4 issues, or 3 issues, or 2 issues, or
exactly. Oh, that's cool.
That's the one thing. Like, I'm a fan of Liefeld because of his enthusiasm. I don't like what he does. Like, like he's one of those guys that just loses his temper and starts pouting.
Yeah, that's
what. Like, I don't like that about him, but I really like his enthusiasm. And when he's excited about something. And, but when he left Marvel, he became so sporadic and inconsistent.
Yes.
Like, he was the only Image creator I know of that couldn't stick to the schedule. Like, you know, I started with Brigade and all that stuff, and it wouldn't last.
No.
And I think that's why the Image guys just got frustrated with them. And he's one of the reasons that a lot of companies, comic shops, went out of business, you know, because of their sporadic shipping. And then they got the book, and then they couldn't sell it because people lost interest.
Exactly.
They were ordering 200 copies of it.
What was that one book? I think it was just called Image or Image Plus. I don't remember what it was called.
Darker Image?
No, Kirkman was writing it, so it's more recent. And then all of the original creators were coming back to draw their own characters.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. They only got like 3 issues in.
Yeah, and then that was it. And same deal. Like, you had probably
that one was a logistical nightmare.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think they lost a lot of pages too, like the way they were shipping stuff back and forth to each other.
Oh,
and it was kind of one of those things that just said, oh, fuck it. Like Warren Ellis, you know, he lost his computer and he never went back to finish some of the most amazing comics that I've ever read in Avatar and some of his Wildstorm stuff that just got lost. And he just said, I'm done. Like, you know, frustration thing.
Yeah. Oh, it was Image United. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I was looking for it.
But I was bored on there, and then he did the Maximum, and then he did Arcade, and, you know, I followed Youngblood for the sake of following Youngblood, not because it was mind-blowing, but because I was very excited about Image when they were out, and I wanted to stick with it. But, man, if they can't do – I think Robert Kirkman was writing it when he was in Arcade. Youngblood, and that was amazing. I can't remember the writers he got for Arcade. I'm gonna have to look it up, but they were pretty phenomenal. And then he had Alan Moore on Supreme. You know what I mean? He had some really big time creators.
Yeah, why did he have volume so much two? Trouble?
Volume 3 was awesome. Awesome Entertainment. That's what it was called. That was Alan Moore that wrote Youngblood Volume 3.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what the other one was called. I thought it was Arcade. Youngblood Bloodsport. That was Mark Millar writing and Rob Liefeld. And that was amazing. And then Youngblood Genesis was Kurt Busiek. Youngblood Imperial was Robert Kirkman. And it was a awesome issue. Guess how many issues of that came out?
How many?
One.
That's why, like, even though I don't buy I haven't bought, I think I bought the first 7 issues of Savage Dragon, that's it. I give Eric Larson a lot of credit.
Oh my God, I love Savage Dragon.
But and that's what he did. I mean, and it's fine, there's nothing wrong with what anyone else decided to do, but he was a comic creator. He helped form his own company, but he's that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a comic creator. So
yeah,
that's what he does.
It's even different than McFarlane. McFarlane became richer, obviously, and, you know, went into toys and other stuff.
Yeah.
And he stuck with Spawn. But he had other people do his work. That's the difference.
Yeah, where you can tell. I mean, Eric Larson loves obviously what he's doing because he could have chose to do a million different.
Oh, it's such an homage to Jack Kirby. Yeah. I mean, if you look at Savage Dragon and what he does with the world building and stuff, and the plot threads and there's some crazy stuff that go on in there.
I bought issue 200 just for the sake of buying it.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I had no idea what was going on. I hadn't bought it in 193 issues, so it's a little behind.
Well, it got really convoluted. but if you were along for the ride, it made a hell of a lot of sense.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I just give him a lot of credit for it. He's like, that's what I want to do, and that's what I enjoy, and that's what I'm going to keep doing.
And he just drew Spawn recently, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did
6 issues of Spawn.
That's cool.
While he was doing Savage Dragon, but he kind of like went on his every 3 months or something like that Savage Dragon schedule. So.
Oh, gotcha. That's all right, though.
Yeah. I really like Eric Larson. I think he's fantastic. He was great on Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they're coming out with I don't know where I saw it, but Omnibus. Michelini Larson Omnibus.
I did see that.
And I am so excited. Like, I bought the McFarlane Omnibus Spider-Man. They don't have the Michelini one, though. At least I don't think they do. But I'm looking forward to the Larson.
That's cool. Yeah, it might have been in the new... I might have mentioned something in the new solicitations for the previews that's coming. I don't know, maybe it was the month.
Some artists just work good on characters. Like, I wasn't too, like, up on Bagley doing DC characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just couldn't get into it when he went over to DC for a couple years. But when he's, like, right now he's back on all new X-Men? All new X-Men.
Yes.
Doing the kids. Oh my God, he's drawing some great art in there.
Yeah, I like him, and I like him like you said on the Marvel side.
The Marvel side, he seems to like have just a better style.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the Thunderbolts and Ultimate Spider-Man when I think of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Thunderbolts
because and he's fast that. Because yeah. all new X like if it was anybody else on all new X-Men because they ship. Twice a month sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that can, like, he's a workhorse, man. He can pump out books. Yeah, like, he was doing a weekly book on his own. He was doing Trinity, I think it was. That he was.
There's hardly anyone that can do that now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what I like about him is he seems to be fast. And his quality is good for the speed. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Like, I was even reading Uncanny. Was it Uncanny? I'm getting confused between Uncanny Extraordinary. I think it was Uncanny. And there was a guest artist in there for Greg Land.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, he blew my mind. He was drawing Apocalypse's son. And I'm like, holy crap. It just looked amazing. I wanted more of that. I like Greg Land, but I loved that art.
I'm interested to see I'm guessing Uncanny's going to be ending soon, as well as all the rest.
Yeah, but it's ending, but it's not ending.
Yeah, well.
Cullen Bunn is telling his Magneto story still.
Yes, yes.
With the all-new X-Men.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it is. Yeah.
It's almost like I can't remember which is blue and gold, but
I think gold might be the one with Storm and
yeah, Kitty. That one they're throwing Kitty in, and that's pretty much Extraordinary.
Yeah,
X-Men with Kitty and one other X-Men they haven't had.
Yep, and the other one's just basically all new X-Men,
and that's Andraco, and Andraco's usually pretty tight.
Yeah,
I mean he. He's been doing a great job. I don't even like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I read the comic, and I think it's fantastic.
Very nice.
All right, so...
I got I've got another one. My comic shop has a bunch of long boxes that they didn't want to sort through and figure out prices for each. I don't know where they got them from, but it's a huge amount of long boxes. And so they just set them out at $3 regardless. And, you know, some might be worth $5 or $6. Some might honestly be worth a dollar.
Right.
But you're going to pay $3 for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going through, and I noticed – I was looking into earlier a couple weeks ago. I was reading some Sergeant Rock, Army at War, maybe even a GI Combat, and made me think, you know, well, those all ended like in the – basically in like the mid 80s, right?
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like that was definitely a transition. When Rock and Unknown Soldier and GI Combat went out at the same time.
Yeah, they all started dropping off and
pretty big.
They were huge. And I think a big part of it is that it seemed like there was a lot of focus towards serialized storytelling rather than the one and done stories.
Yeah.
But I really miss a lot of those. I mean, we still had that with Jonah Hex pre-52.
Right. That's
a lot of those one-and-dones. Those were really good stories. And so anyhow, I was looking up, and I noticed – I looked up in online, and I saw that the last issue of Sergeant Rock actually came out in 1988. So that one lasted a little longer than the other ones did, by like maybe like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the last one to go. And so as I was flipping through these long boxes, I noticed – because I just remembered the number. It was number 422. And sure enough, they had a copy of 422. So I'm like, well, I got to pick this up and just see what this last issue looked like, you know? Well, the thing that's super interesting about it is it says on the cover, Kubert Triple Threat, Joe, Andy, and Adam together for the first time. So that was kind of cool. It featured, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but he wrote all of those. It was Robert
Kaniger.
Yeah. Okay.
Love that guy.
Yeah. So he wrote the last issue. Joe Kubert, drew it, and Andy did inks and letters, and Adam did colors. So it was a whole family affair plus, Robert Kaniger. And, I was wondering like what this was going to be. Was it going to like feature a death of Sergeant Rock or whatever? But basically, it's based on what ended up being a true story that was released years later. That in 1944, they simulated the storming of the beaches at Normandy. They simulated that ahead of time to try to just see how things would go. And so in this story, they added Sergeant Rock, and that he's there basically as like a like an observer to see how they're doing for this practice. So they're all in these boats doing this practice run, and they see flares up ahead that they think it's part of their naval escort for this practice exercise, but it turns out that it's German U-boats. So all these boats are sank, and like they lost like 650 people in this practice exercise. And Sergeant Rock, of course, is one that survives. He tries to get this kid up on the shore. It turns out that he had died. So Sergeant Rock grabs his body and wants to give him a proper burial. And two other GIs come across him and think that he's really like a German spy. They bring him to a general. The general actually recognizes him and gives him permission to bury the soldier. But basically, they did a huge mass burial for like all 650 of the soldiers. And they talk about how this is like an absolute disaster, and this has to be classified as top secret, because if they don't, it's just going to end up totally killing morale, because this was just a practice exercise. All these people died, and how is it going to affect the soldiers that are going to actually storm the beach, you know, against mines and booby traps and everything else. So they made it a top secret. that this had ever happened. So Sergeant Rock ends up going back to his into Easy Company, and he passes this Jeep that has these Norwegian freedom fighters passing by him, but little does he know they're actually German soldiers in disguise. And the German soldiers take over a local church, and the SS officer. There's regular German soldiers and then an SS officer. He says they're going to hold the nuns hostage to make sure that they can get in and out. So this one girl notices that this has happened, and she gets in touch with Easy Company, and Sergeant Rock draws their fire so the rest of them can start attacking and shooting. A white flag is thrown up from inside, and a German soldier comes out, and he's like, there's nuns inside. Now, this is what he's saying. There's nuns inside. We do not wish to harm them. Would you order your men to hold their fire until they can come out? And Sergeant Rock says, you could have held them for a hostage. You're not SS, you're regular army. Easy, hold your fire. So he tells the nuns to come out, and the SS officer comes out with a gun to the nun's head, saying that I'm coming out with my living shield. Like, give me a car, otherwise I'm going to blow her head off. And Sergeant Rock says, sure, just don't do anything. And the German officer or German soldier turns around and shoots the SS officer in the head. And sure enough, they let all the nuns go. They go back into the church and say, now we're going to settle this the way we settle this. And they start fighting. That German soldier gets away, and he's going to actually kill one of the U.S. generals. Sergeant Rock realizes this, jumps on a motorcycle, and ends up just as the German officer or German soldier is coming up to the American general. Sergeant Rock basically like takes a tumble all the way downhill and says, don't try it, Major. And they said, oh, it's just going to be you and me. And they shoot at each other. Of course, the German soldier misses. Sergeant Rock kills the German soldier. And that's basically the end of the story. In the letters column, it just talks about the fact that this was based on something actually real, that they really did have this rehearsal, and that many, like 650 soldiers really died. Wow. So I thought that was pretty interesting, that it was based on something real. But I really was surprised that it didn't, like, in nowhere in this book, not even the letters page, it doesn't say that this is the final issue. It doesn't, it's a good story.
It doesn't say sayonara,
nothing.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, nothing. And the front, the cover didn't say final issue. It didn't. It was a great story, but it wasn't anything unusual, except for all the Kuberts got together to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kaniger came back, too. He hadn't written, I don't think, a few before that. So that was something. But other than that, they didn't even reference that this was the last issue at all. And I was wondering, without knowing ahead of time, if they were going to have a death of Sergeant Rock or something happening to Easy Company, or if nothing else, at least something in the letters column saying this is the last issue, thanks or whatever. But yeah, there was nothing at all.
Yeah.
But it was still, like I said, it's a real good issue. I don't know if you like those old war books, but
oh, I love them.
I've always had a soft spot for those. I love picking them up whenever.
When I was young, it was before action figures. Before I got into Big Jim's pack, it was Army Men.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my best friend at the time, would collect a lot of Army Men and the comics we would read. We didn't read superheroes. We read Unknown Soldier, Sergeant Rock, GI Combat, and we traded those back and forth, and that's what we collected. Like, that must have been like grades 5 through 7, where I just got war comics.
Oh wow! No superheroes at all, huh?
No. Just got Sergeant Rock, GI Combat, and Unknown Soldier.
I like Unknown Soldier too.
Yeah. Kaniger wrote a lot of that stuff. He wrote most of Sergeant Rock, and he wrote a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of these rocks anymore because I traded them.
Did you?
I have a lot of the earlier issues, not too many of the later ones, but I should complete that. At least Sergeant Rock, our Army of War is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But yeah,
at least with Sergeant Rock, it's something that, you know, and it won't cost a ton of money. I mean, it's still...
They're not cheap. And, no. And I think it's because, like, you saw it in a $3 book, but for some reason, I don't usually see them in $3. I usually see them, like, from 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because there's not a lot of them out there or what it is, but...
Yeah, that's probably... And you know what? For whatever reason, at least this is what I found, and maybe not for the later ones, like the 60-cent issues and up, but like the older ones, they seem to be like in really beat up a lot too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're read over and over again, because those are the type of stories that are just one and done. So you can just read them over and over. You don't have to like pick up another issue to see what happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're usually like pretty beat up.
Yeah, I need to get back on this.
You know, with Unknown Soldier, years ago, I mean, it had to be 10 years ago now. On eBay, I happened to see a lot that had like from 252 to the last issue, which was 268.
Yeah.
For like it wasn't much.
Well, it's like our Army at War with Sergeant Rock. And then it became Sergeant Rock. And Unknown yep. Soldier was very similar, Star Spangled War Stories. And then yeah. It became Unknown Soldier.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were the most popular features in those magazines.
And then G.I. Combat had a lot of different various things, but yeah. It had Haunted Tank.
Yeah, that was the big one.
Yeah, that was the flagship of that. And what title.
Losers was Our Fighting Forces, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one didn't last as long.
Losers weren't as popular.
No.
Until they got a hold of them in Final, what do you call it, Frontier or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Darwin Cook.
I've always thought the Losers were pretty amazing. I even like the reimagining of the Losers, like the Vertigo series, which made it very different.
Yeah, wasn't I don't think a war I've book ever anymore. Read that.
Did you watch the movie?
Mm-mm. Is it
good? Highly recommend it.
Yeah?
Watch the movie, and if you like it, go back and buy the Vertigo.
Is it same tone as the Vertigo?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, I'll have to check it out. But yeah, it's funny. With Final Frontier, I just read that for the first time. About like right after Darwin Cook passed.
Yeah, and then you see them show up in Superman, which is really cool.
Yeah, it was very fresh in my mind because I just read it like 6 months ago.
I love how Captain Storm decided to stay back. He's like, I'm not, you know, my friends died here. I'm not leaving.
Yeah,
it's like I'll be a man out of time. You know, this is where I belong with my people. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but they need to. I know they're not going to have an ongoing, but they need to do like a Sergeant Rock mini, like a 6-issue miniseries set World War II again.
And Captain Storm had his own title too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, PT Boat Skipper Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pick those up when I see them. I don't see them very often, but those I'll pick those up. Yeah, there's some good comics. I really. Would like to complete them at some time. I love the supporting cast of Sergeant Rock, though.
Me too.
Ice Cream Soldier, Little Shrimp Shot, Bulldozer. Oh, God, I love those guys.
Yep. Wild Man.
Yeah, Wild Man. They had action figures of these guys, believe it or not.
I remember.
During the Warlord time frame.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's so funny.
Yeah, I would have loved to have some of those, just to have them. Now that I look at the ads, though, it's almost like they didn't distinguish the characters. It would have been cool to have the whole Easy Company, you know, as an action figure.
Yeah, they each look a little, you know, you could tell who's who. And
stuff. They're really distinctive looking. There was that guy that was his name Brain. I can't remember the smart guy.
I don't remember.
I don't remember his name. They all looked very distinct, distinctive. And then when they introduced a new character, he pretty much a red shirt.
Exactly.
Very seldom did they make it.
So what came first, Captain Storm or the losers in
I our think Captain Force? Storm did. Captain Storm's their 12 centers, so.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That they would have had him by himself and then, you know, incorporated them into a team.
Robert Kaniger again. Cool. Yeah, that's Captain cool. Storm, that's like 1964.
And he did all that stuff.
Oh yeah, Kaniger was all over it.
Yeah.
Robert Kaniger, I remember all for his War Comics and Hawkman. He did some Hawkman.
Oh,
and did he? He did some mainstream Superman stuff too. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorites, but not kind of like Kerry Bates' favorite. Like, Kerry Bates was my favorite. Robert Kaniger was definitely in my top five for that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
He did all those War Comics.
Yeah. Well, I got a Marvel book, Marvel 2-in-1, number 32. Okay. This is a series I want to complete at some point. This is one of the series where you could say full run Marvel 2-in-1 and just get it all at once.
Exactly.
But I think I'll just get these as I come across them. This is the Thing and Invisible Girl, which it's a weird team up because they're already together. But Fantastic Four. But it's Marv Wolfman and Ron Wilson does the pencils, and this one has a slew of characters in it. It has Alicia, she's actually the bad one, Alicia Masters, which is Thing's woman, and it's got Spider-Woman, and it looks like it might have been, like, even though these are kind of done in ones, like a continuation of, like, a three-part arc, this being, I think, the final arc, but it's pretty interesting. She gets infected and becomes like this arachnid. They injected her with the venom that Spider-Woman carries. And that's how Spider-Woman comes into this, is she's trying to save her as a woman, plus get her venom, like make sure it doesn't harm another person because it was extracted from her. And Thing is there, and he ends up fighting everybody. The military, they're in London. He fights the police there. He fights Spider-Woman because when they try to kill his woman, he even fights Hydra. When they try to kill his woman, he just always there to protect her, even though she's trying to bite him at the same time. He loves Alicia, so he doesn't want anything to happen to her. He actually makes a phone call back to the States and asks for Sue and the Fantastic Four to come help, and Sue's the only one that shows up. And she's obviously the strongest. I always think of her as, even though they play her weak in early Fantastic Four, she's probably the more powerful one, and they kind of make her the more powerful one in later issues of the Fantastic Four. But she's able to isolate her and kind of like take the oxygen out of the visible force field and then capture her. And there's a scientist there that I've never seen before, but he's trying to reverse the process. And Thing kind of leaves her there. But this scientist is actually has, I noticed in the background, he's got a death lock back there. So that's pretty interesting. Huh. And it ends in such a place that Ben's blaming himself for this. And he's like, you know, I'm a danger to her. I'm going to have to break up with her, kind of thing. And that's how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good issue. I liked it. I like these. This, just like yours, it's a done in one, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can come in at any point, and if there's any reference, it'll tell you, but it's usually everything that you need to know is in that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Well, I don't have anything else, do you?
I have one more.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to try to get in one of the old Brave and the Bold's 101 with Metamorpho, but I just didn't have time to read it today.
I got – this is my all-star comic of the week. This is the one that I loved. I have a thing for romance comics, and this is
Romance
number 167. Mm-hmm. And on the cover, it has a girl kissing this guy, and she's thinking to herself, "I know I'm doing wrong. He belongs to my twin sister, but I can't help myself."
what number was it?
167.
Okay, I'm just gonna look at the cover. Oh yeah, I see.
And these stories are amazing because they're like it's like the horror anthology books. They usually have like three stories.
Yeah.
And they kind of have weird endings, but in this one it involves romance. So the first story involves this guy that's with this girl, and she's absolutely in love with her, and he's absolutely in love with her. They're both in love with each other, but he's like a practical joker, and he always plays hateful jokes on her to the point where she gets really hurt and just wants to break up with him, and she does like a couple times. And it turns out she's stupid for being with this guy. I would have left his ass a long time ago. I mean, he is rotten. He does it in public settings, like where he'll make other people laugh, but at her expense. So He's a real jerk. And at the end, she does break up with him, but she finds out that she should have never even went back, but she did anyway. She find out that he was going to propose, and he's kind of like unshaven, and he's feeling miserable and wants to be back with her. And he's only doing that because he had like a mom complex, like where he lost all the important women in his life. So he didn't want to commit because He thought he would lose this girl, and he did it through bad jokes. but she catches on to it and they're back together. But, pretty dumb woman, in my opinion, just because of strike one. Like, she does the strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out kind of thing, but then ends up back with them. And from what you read, he has no redeeming qualities. The next story is called I Can Dream, Can't I? And this is about a woman. Did you ever see Pretty in Pink?
Yeah, a long time ago, though.
Molly Ringwald.
Yep.
She was from the poor side of town, and she was dating a guy from the rich side of the Andrew McCarthy, and he was a real jerk, and James Spader was in there.
Oh, yep.
James Spader always plays a jerk.
Yes.
But anyway, there was a scene in there where she has him drops her off at not her house because she doesn't want him to know that she lives in the poor part of town. Mm-hmm. That's what this story is. The second story is that.
Okay.
She's a compulsive liar, though. Like, she lies. My father does this and does that. And really, they're poor. They're really poor. And then she finally falls in. Like, she ends up breaking up with every guy that she ever dates because she's afraid that they're going to find out she's lying. And she's a compulsive liar. Really bad. Like, not even likable to the point, you know, she just lies about everything. And the guys are not portrayed bad, you know, they're just she falls in love with this really rich guy, and then she says, I'm not gonna lie, and she does pretty good for a long time, and then she starts her lying again, you know, like when things start to get good. And ends up that her father works for this guy, and he knew she was lying, but he's in love with her. So that's it, ends like a happy ending, but another weird story. And the third one is even weirder. It's the twin sister one, and it's two twins that are complete opposite. One is more like intellectual and an introvert, and mm-hmm. one is an extrovert and really popular. And she wants the popular one wants to be an actress, and she's like headed to LA and all this, and everybody loves her. She falls in love with the guy that her twin sister, that's the guy's all over her twin sister. Like, there's even one scene where he wants to kiss her, but she imagines he does, but he doesn't because he wants the more popular one. But it turns out that she does get to kiss him, and then there's like a rift between her and her sister, but she sees this guy from Hollywood comes, and he sees this girl, and how much emotional pain she's going through, and hires her instead of her sister, who wants to be in Hollywood. And he makes her really popular in Hollywood, even though she's depressed. He says, yes, I want to capture that on film. It's very weird. And this one has a continuation, I think, because it says, spill over, come see as it spills over into the next issue of Young Romance.
Oh.
Which I want to know. I want to know what happens.
Now you got to pick that one up.
But man, the letters column is even more awesome.
Why?
Because this is history, and this is like.
Do they have?
Well, you get a range of what girls are reading this comic in. They're really in the ages between 13 and 19.
Are they asking for advice?
Yes, it's like a Dear Abby. You know, like I'm 16 year old. I have a problem I just can't seem to solve. I hope you can help me as you do with so many other people. My boyfriend Johnny and I have been going steady for about 8 months. We both like each other very much, but he has come to the point now that I find we're both getting bored with each other. The other day I met a boy named David who asked me out. I really want to go. Should I go out with him on the sneak or should I tell Johnny? What should I do? And then she advises him to tell Johnny, don't break his heart, but you're too young to worry about that shit right now. That's essentially her. These are just crazy things.
That's cool. I like reading some of those the letter columns from older comics too.
Yeah,
this one is even more so because
it's even more interesting because of the context of it.
Exactly.
Like one of them is a 15-year-old girl who's really popular, right? But she has this stalker guy that she doesn't like, but she likes to keep him around. Mm-hmm. Which that's weird to me. Like you don't like this guy, but you don't tell him because it makes you feel good that somebody always wants you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's weird. But that's in this comic. That's somebody saying, what should I do? She just says, you need to tell this guy to get lost. You know, you can't just be – he sounds pretty creepy anyway. But, yeah, I dig these romance comics, and this is DC too, so
– yeah.
What year is this? 1970.
There you go.
Yeah. I need to get them then. At least the ones from 73 on. So.
Yep.
Got to get my Young Romance.
It looks like it was canceled at the end of 75.
Yeah. It's weird that a demographic like that would exist in that kind of popularity.
Yeah.
If I was a guy and I wanted to learn about girls, I might even read this comic back. at least the letter column, right?
Yeah.
You could get in their minds.
Well, it's amazing how widespread comic books just were when it was just sold on newsstands everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like I was reading like one of the final issues of G.I. Combat a few months ago. It wasn't the last issue, but it was probably like a year away from the last issue. Mm-hmm. And like their circulation was, it was like, I can't remember what it was. I thought it was like 120,000. And this is like a year from being canceled.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Back then they used to have the publication things that they'd print out once a year.
Yeah. That's what
and
I
you
was
would know. You, yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, can you imagine? You know,
yeah, you'd be in the top 10. You'd be you'd be above Batman right now.
Right. It's just so weird how things have changed.
Yep. Oh, well, we have some questions if you have time.
Sure, yeah, I do.
We can knock them out real quick. I forgot.
Yeah.
So Norbert Franz from Germany says, how does a Rob Liefeld version of Battlestar Galactica compare to recent BSG classic comics from Dynamite? Well, I guess that's addressed to me.
Yes.
But I would say that the Dynamite are slightly better, but if you like the old TV series, these ones are very much in that vein. Like it follows the same pattern. Matter of fact, this was a very similar one to the prison planet that me and Chris went over when we saw the episode. So yeah, I think you'd enjoy it if you're a Galactica fan. The art, I don't mind 90 like Liefeld art. If you don't like Liefeld art, it might take away from your experience. Even though he's not drawing it, it's very similar. Although the Vipers and the space scenes, they look amazing. They look really good. They look better than the Dynamite, as far as the space scenes do. Alan Middleton says, a retro TV or movie property that hasn't had a comic book yet, but that you'd like to see. Well, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
You know.
Because not having a comic book.
There are probably a lot of other like answers if I had time to sit and think about it, but I've been watching The Phantasms.
Yeah.
And I could see them doing a comic book on Phantasm. So I watched 1, 2, and I'm about halfway through watching 3 when I had to go to bed.
Well, I'm looking for it, and I don't see anything. So that could do something like that. I've never seen that, believe it or not.
You've never seen the first one?
Kind of embarrassed.
I just watched.
I'm well aware of the guy. Like,
yeah,
I've
the guy
seen,
and
the guy the, is the guy is iconic looking because he's creepy old man.
Yeah, and the silver those silver balls that have the
yeah
things.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's very I was watching the first one and then I kind of got distracted during the like last 15 minutes. So much and it twisted so much at the end that I had to rewind and rewatch to see if I totally missed something, but I hadn't. It's just like totally throws you off, and then
yeah,
watch number 2 and it adds on to it, and then number 3. I mean, they all go in a row basically, which is unusual because there was like 6 to 8 years in between each movie, but they pick up exactly where the other one left off, which is kind of
man. Everything that I'm thinking of has already come out as a comic form, I think. But Gilligan's Island, maybe I'd like to read. I'll read that. Gilligan's Island. Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld.
That'd be tough to do comic. As a comic book, though. I think.
I don't think so because it's a done in one. It's a done in one. They did Married with Children.
That's
true. I mean, it's very. They're totally different types of comedy.
Yeah.
And. But I think, for me personally, if you could hit the notes, you could do Seinfeld, because it's comic about nothing. They don't do nothing.
I find it for myself. Sometimes, like when it's a comedy book, it has to be for me just personally. It has to be really, really well done and really, really funny for me to actually like even chuckle. Like Like for myself, I find the comedy hard to translate into a comic book form.
Uh-huh.
But there's been a few that have done it for sure. So if they could actually get the right tone down, that would be fun.
Yeah, Dobie Gillis did it. That's a funny comic.
Yep.
Bob Hope was pretty funny. I mean, Jerry Lewis comics they were pretty funny. They're not like laugh out loud hysterical, but
no, yeah.
It's more like, like a side chuckle kind of thing.
Yeah.
Married with Children was pretty good comic when it first came out. I didn't follow it very far.
Yeah, I think I've got the first issue and that's it.
Yeah, that was from Now Comics.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd do a Gilligan's Island, a Seinfeld, and the horror side. There used to be a TV show called Cliffhangers. That's really obscure. If they did that, I think it'd translate great to a comic book. That's all I can think of. Let's see what else we got. So Martin Ferretti says, I have been from Valiant Central.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah. I know he doesn't like Jaws and The Shining, which is ridiculous.
I think he's just trying to piss people off.
I don't don't know. I don't know how you. I mean, I love The Shining so much. I went and stayed at the damn hotel where he wrote the book. But I think that is an amazing movie. And Jaws to this day, I think, is great.
Jaws is an absolute classic movie.
Oh, and yeah.
One that I could watch at any, like, if anyone ever said, "Why, you know, do you want to watch, like, let's just watch Jaws," I'd be like, okay, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it at any point.
And it's got, like, great actors in it, man. It's
amazing.
Yeah. Those scenes on the boat alone are worth it. You know, like, mm-hmm. when they're all three of those guys are on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. And then they have those barrels.
Yep.
But anyway, Martin says, I've been reading a lot of Merrill Command this week and was wondering if you guys had and what your thoughts were on it.
What did he read? I didn't hear what he said.
Miracle Man.
Oh, Miracle Man, uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, and then he said, is there any other properties that could benefit from similar treatment on updating a Golden Age property into something more edgy and metaphysical?
I haven't read – I've read just a tiny little bit of the updated Miracle Man. I don't know if – have you read all of that?
I have read – nothing of Miracle Man except for a Golden Age Miracle Man, which isn't the popular one.
Right.
It's the English one before Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman got a hold of it.
Yeah, when it was a Marvel Man, right?
Yeah, Marvel Man. That's uh-huh. what I read. But I don't even think I own one Miracle Man. I mean, I own the hardcovers. I bought them as they got released from... Mm-hmm. Because the comic books were quite expensive when they were releasing them. So I just said, I'll just wait till I get the collected edition.
Yeah. I mean, I know what they did with it. And I think that, I mean, it's definitely, you know, fascinating. I'm not sure who else could benefit from something like that. Do you have any ideas?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, they could do like the Project Superpowers again and take those Golden Age characters. I love when they take the, what do you call it, public domain characters mm-hmm. and reimagine them.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic when they do that. And they could do it any way they want. Like even Kickstarter did it recently with putting them in a trailer park together, solving a murder mystery. That was really awesome, yeah.
That's cool.
The metaphysical and stuff, I don't know. I don't know if I'm a real big fan of that. I like it when it's done well. Like Animal Man does some of the weird shit.
Yep.
The Vertigo, and I enjoyed that. But then there's other titles like Doom Patrol that's doing that weird shit now, and I'm not latching on to it.
It's very obscure.
Yeah, and my favorite Morrison Doom Patrol issues were the ones that were more grounded. Mm-hmm. Something that I could latch on to.
I'd like to see them do like a type – I mean, it's definitely not the same type of thing by any means, but I enjoyed DP7 back in the 80s, and I'd like to see them kind of revamp that and – kind of make it a little like Stranger.
New universe uh-huh. kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. That was probably my favorite title, The New Universe.
Yeah, that I just read some of that recently. It's really good.
Yeah.
I liked Night Mask. Very different from the Night Mask when they got a hold of him in Avengers.
Yeah.
Starbrand and Night Mask and Kickers Inc.
Yep.
Merc.
Yep, Mark Hazard, Merc.
Yeah. And I can't remember some of the other ones.
Psyforce?
Yeah.
This one.
And Spitfire.
I was just going to say, I couldn't remember if you said Spitfire in the Troubleshooters or not.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
If they did redo them, though, I would like them to be their own thing still.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I would want I guess one character that they could redo is Zombie from the Milestone. I like that a lot, even when they re-brought him back. But if they kept him out of the DC universe, I'd be fine. You know, if Milestone characters were in their own Milestone universe,
yeah,
I'd prefer that, actually.
Yeah, they don't – you know, I understand why they want to sometimes push them together into the, you know, the DCU. But, you know, they want to incorporate them, get them more mainstream. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's – I think it's a good idea a lot of times to just let them breathe by themselves.
I'd be okay if they brought back the Heap or the Sludge. I'm a sucker for swamp monsters.
I remember the Sludge. I don't remember the Heap.
The Heap was Golden Age. He goes back to Air Boy.
Oh, okay, I don't remember him at all.
He's he was a swamp monster before Man Thing and Swamp Thing. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Can you hear anybody crying in the background?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Somebody watching the football game and their team isn't winning?
No.
kidding.
from what I understand, Allie's chapstick is too bumpy and it doesn't work anymore.
Ah.
These problems that you have when you're 3 and a half, you know?
Yeah.
and mom won't give her a new chapstick, so she's having a meltdown.
Okay, so we got three more questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Norbert asks one more question. He says, have you had the chance to read that giant retro toy comic crossover with IDW doing it? I haven't started it yet. Have you? That's the Revolution.
Oh, no, I didn't read it. I actually read, it was either a preview or the first issue. I got like a special cover came or something like that. But and I read that and I thought it was pretty interesting, but I didn't pick up the series, so.
I did pick it up, but I'll have to get back to you because I haven't read it. I only read the same issue that you did, the freebie that came in.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea, that's for sure, putting them all together in the same universe.
Yeah, I do like G.I. Joe and Micronauts and Rom and the Action Man. I'm not a Transformer fan at any stage of my life.
No.
But in Mask, I didn't didn't even touch my radar at all when I was a kid.
I tried getting into the new Micronauts. I didn't really get into them, but I think I'm enjoying Rom. I think that's interesting.
I actually like the new Micronauts because the new Micronauts are not like the Marvel Micronauts. They are – I had these toys. That's why I like them. They're more classic to the toy.
No, you're right.
They are than the Marvel stuff.
I had a handful of the toys. I had that big Biotron.
I did too.
That thing was awesome.
That was my favorite thing. Like in issue one where they drew the Biotron.
Yeah.
That was like one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just
the thing would turn into like a something with treads.
Yeah, it had the treads.
Yeah.
And they had. Oh man, I had a couple of those Micronauts, more of the bigger ones than I had the actual small characters.
I had the Baron Karza and whoever the.
So did I. I had the Baron Karza. My brother had the Baron Karza.
With the magnet arms and legs and head and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a metal head.
It was really, when you think about it, a very odd line of toys.
It was. But they had a lot of them had battery things in them that you could actually move, like the ones that we had, you could turn into like tanks and stuff and put batteries in them and your guy can move inside of them.
Yep. That's super cool.
It was fun.
Uh-huh.
Shane says, have you ever watched the British series Tomorrow People or Blake 7? I have not.
I have not. I've never heard of it.
Me neither. I have only heard of it through Shane.
Just now?
I think he mentioned Blake 7 to me in an IM or a DC Noise question. I can't remember.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I've never even heard of that before.
And Donnie Salvo says, have you read Tarzan Planet of the Apes yet?
Tarzan Planet of the Apes, is that a newer one?
It's a Dark Horse.
Okay, I haven't. The only one that I've read for Tarzan is that old two-issue Marvel one. It was based on, I think, a movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did buy it. I haven't read it yet, but he said if it gets his seal of Donny Salvo's a Planet of the Apes fan, so if it gets his approval, I'm pretty sure it's good.
You'll like it.
Yeah. And Paul Tessenier, who is will never even listen to the answer of this, he says, "What is your favorite iteration of the Swamp Thing?" That's easy for me.
Yeah, I think we're probably the same one, I would guess. It's Alan Moore for me.
Yeah, and it's really good, even rereading it.
I just recently in the past couple of years, read all of those thin hardcovers.
Yeah. I read volumes 1 and 2 recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good. And that's the first time I read them all back to back. Like, I had a handful of issues here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I bought those, that was the first time I've actually gone back to read, like, the whole thing. I've never read the whole thing before. So good.
Yeah. Absolutely. I still have some holes to fill in that, too. And some of them are expensive, yeah.
Yeah,
those are your issues.
I have like 3 or 4 single issues. Everything. No, I just read it.
I have almost the entire run.
Wow.
But I have the first volume of Swamp Thing. That's not bad either. The Len Wein stuff.
Yeah, I.
That's really good.
I haven't read hardly any of that.
I like the Swamp Thing better than the Man Thing.
Me too.
But I need to go read more Man Thing. Giant size Man Thing.
I was just gonna say, are you embarrassed to go to your comic book store and ask if they have a
giant size Man Thing?
Didn't they make a joke about
speaking
that?
Speaking of, there was a lot of Man Thing at the comic shop until that collection got confiscated.
Oh boy.
I mean, he had like a good run of Man Thing.
Yeah. I liked for Swamp Thing, I really did like Scott Snyder and Charles Sewell's run recently. I thought that was really well done.
I liked it, but man, if you were reading that not in one shot, it was long. I mean, it was a long. The Swamp Thing I enjoyed more was the Charles Soule Swamp Thing towards the end of the run.
Did you with the
Oh my god, it was amazing because it introduced, you know, you had the rot and all that stuff. It introduced the technical one.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was called.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that was amazing to me.
Nice.
I wonder how it would read in one sitting though. Like if you just had the Animal Man and Swamp Thing trades and just sat down and
because Animal Man was very good too, I thought.
Yeah, Animal Man was good. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, their numbers weren't horrible when they canceled it.
They
kind of felt in that mode where it could still survive.
Do you think that they just?
I think it was
pretty much done with the story.
The writers were leaving. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, and then rather than having somebody else pick it up, it was a natural spot to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really should get the Swamp Thing trades because I have all the other Swamp Thing trades, the Brian K. Vaughan Swamp, every Swamp Thing. I might as well have it.
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why not? I'm still trying to get all of the Epic collections.
Wow. Do you remember I asked you about that death of Aquaman's son and stuff?
Yeah.
I saw that.
I own that. I bought it because I love that. Like, it is like such a dark story, like, for its time.
It's another one where, like, I've always known about it for,
yeah,
I guess they've referenced it and stuff, but I've never read it. And so I'm like, I gotta read this. But I saw it's not in print anymore, so it's,
yeah, that's why I jumped on it. I like it. Like, Aquaman has its great runs, but they're not like real well known. I mean, most people will say, okay, get the Jeff Johns stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they might say this current run, because this current run's pretty up there.
Yeah.
And then the Peter David. Peter David had a hell of a run.
Yeah.
He did the Atlanta's Chronicles, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, there was that, the run that the trade that I just told you. And the thing that you'll find out about collected editions is they could go up in price big time.
I know.
I mean, they're more so than comics.
Well,
they stop publishing it, like, if it has a print run of 500 or 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars for a trade.
Mike, it's in on Amazon. The cheapest price is used in good condition for $50.
Okay. Yeah.
But on eBay, it has some guy has it for sale. Well, it's only bidding. It's no buy it now. But the bid is. I just looked this up because I watched it a while ago. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember getting a notice. It's still a day and 4 hours away. It's only up to $2.76.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be watching that, and I'll
put
in a bid if it doesn't go too high.
The other way to read it is it is available on Comixology.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Then if I don't get this, then that's what I'll do.
A matter of fact, before I completed that run,
mm-hmm.
I had to read one of those issues on Comixology just so I had it.
Yeah.
So and then I eventually bought it. That's the glorious thing of digital for me. It's not that I like it, but it is convenient.
Yes.
If you get stuck and you want to know now, you want to read it now, you can do that most of the time.
There's been a couple times that, like, when you guys are doing your Gotham by Geek, sometimes – if I have enough time, I'll want to read those before I actually listen to the episode.
Yeah.
And if I don't have them, you know, I've picked up 3 or 4 issues on Comixology just to be able to read them, you know, before I listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But the other one that I just recently read for the first time that I always knew that happened was the death of Earth 2 Batman.
Oh yeah, like, that one's great. I've known that
since I was a little kid.
It's such an odd story, though.
Odd story.
The villain is just bizarre.
He's just a plain You would think it would be something huge and momentous. Yeah.
Well, or more grounded. Like that guy's ridiculously powerful.
Yeah. So I just read that about 2 weeks ago for the first time ever.
Yeah, that was in one of those dollar size adventure comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Love those things. Those are great. Did you buy it or did you read it digitally?
No, I got them on eBay pretty inexpensively, like $8 or something like
that. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can wrap this guy up, and thank you for filling in, and maybe we can record one really soon.
Yeah, thanks.
I'd like to do more, so when the holiday week happens – you still get them out, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, just let me know. It's fun. It's nice. Like I said, me and Chris were just – I felt like we were about to get into the rhythm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he wanted to take that little hiatus. So I'm like, well
– And plus you lost an episode.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing, right? We lost that episode. So, like, nobody – we recorded, but nobody heard it. And
you need to get a recorder.
Yeah, I'm going to we go next time.
I roll the dice with this and Geek Brunch. The other ones I have triple covered, like Gotham by Geeks. We have 4 recordings going on if we're all on, you know, DC Noise. You have 2 record. Anytime I'm on with Daryl, he's got his recorder, which is good because there's a couple times Daryl lost it because of the upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, it happened around the same time you lost your update, is they updated it and his Pamela recorder stopped working.
Yeah, and that's what happened to Chris.
Yeah. And then he switched and got another recorder, and then it did a weird stereo thing and he couldn't align it and until he found the one that started working. And I'm old school. I have a version, and when it updates, I just back up to that other version. I restore it because I know my recorder's quality. Like, it's a quality recorder.
Yeah, you know it's going to work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really – like I said, I mean, I've been itching to just talk about some comics, so I appreciate you having me, huh?
Yeah, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Yep,
sounds I have so much things to read.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
It's fun.
And you can reach you at Twitter. Rob
Krieger, RobKryger.
Yep, and you can reach me at I was going to say at Mythmaking ETC. You can reach Chris at that. But me at Mike Myers Brunch and on the Geek Brunch podcast feed. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. And that's about it. See you on the Facebook pages and the Twitters.
Thanks again, Mike.
Yeah, we'll talk to you really soon.
All right.
Take care. Good night.
Yep. Have a good night.
Bye.